The first one I'm going to start with is just the synchronization technologies that we have, how we can mix that technology with, say, heat detection or some of the accelerometer type systems that are out there. And really, it's an interesting story to tell, because the original OffSync program was developed at UW-Madison about 23 years ago. And in the intervening 23 years, we've really turned it into what we call a fertility program. And so we can get really high fertility off some of these programs now, and it's really given us a nice tool to improve reproduction in these lactating dairy cows.
So break it down. How does it all work?
Well, the story I go through is I talk about how what's the problem with the lactating dairy cow, and we think it's involved with high milk production, high feed intake, and clearance of hormones through the liver. Okay, so the argument is that we've changed the high-producing lactating dairy cow. I'm going to show a picture of the record-breaking Holstein today. She gave, 78,000 pounds of milk. So there's nothing normal or natural about that, and we think that that physiology has changed. So what these programs do is they manipulate the ovary so that we can get those hormonal levels back to where they need to be. And when we do that, actually, we see we can get pretty high fertility in these lactating dairy cows.
Now, when you're saying you're getting that high fertility, how many calves do you think that cow can produce then?
Well, she's just going to produce one every 14 months or so. So it's not really producing more calves per se. It's taking less breedings, though, to get the cow pregnant. That's really what we're working on, is that conception rate.
Okay, so now you're integrating technologies for performance. Yep. That's what we're working on in the overview of it. High production, high feed intake, break that down for me, how this is all going to work.
Yeah, well, you get the high feed intake, the high milk production. We think that the modern lactating dairy cow has changed. If you ask most farmers, if you have them look at their non-lactating heifers versus the lactating dairy cows, and you ask them which one is the problem, the lactating dairy cows generally have lower fertility. They have higher twinning rates. They're in estrus for a shorter period of time. There's a lot of things about reproduction that are not normal and natural about these lactating dairy cows. And again, so we can manipulate the ovaries so that we can get those things back to where they need to be. And so my talk, what I'll go through is, people often come to me and they say, look at my reproductive program on my farm. And so I'm going to ask two questions. The first question is, how and when are cows getting inseminated for the first time? That's a question of, what's the strategy for breeding cows for the first time? How effectively can you do that? And then the second question is, when do we go in and do a preg check? And then what do we do with the non-pregnant cows? And so if you put those two things together, you can have a pretty good reproductive management program.
So what about if it's a non-pregnancy diagnosis? The cow you've done the work on and she's not holding, she's not getting pregnant. What do you do then?
Yeah, so good question. So I think one of the most effective ways that people are dealing with this now is when you breed a cow for the first time, let's say you have a 45 or 55% conception rate to first breeding, and you can get that with these fertility programs. The first thing you can do is you can catch the cows that fail to conceive coming back into estrus, and they're going to do that from about 18 to 32 days. That's the earliest non-pregnancy diagnosis you can do. You can breed those cows. But any cow that gets to day 32 after a breeding that hasn't been inseminated, we then will resynchronize that cow. So we start to submit her to a resync program. We do the non-pregnancy diagnosis, which is another technology that I'll talk about. There's different ways to do that at day 39. And then non-pregnant cows will finish off and get re-inseminated. So it's a pretty effective way to get semen back into cows that fail to conceive to the first breeding.
And what if they still continue to stay open and they're just not taking?
Well, it's a good question, and that's just kind of the way reproduction works. I always tell farmers, you'll never get all of your cows pregnant. It just is not going to happen. Example of a real a dairy that we have at the University of Wisconsin, and this is no different than some other dairies that I work with, but we've gotten reproduction good enough now to where cows really should only go three breedings or four breedings maybe. If they're not pregnant by that period of time, you've gotten 90% of them pregnant. So the 10% that you don't get pregnant, I like to say they'll probably will have a career change. They're not going to be a dairy cow anymore. They're going to go on and do something else for the rest of their career. So that's kind of how we look at that.
Now, I know some farmers are still into that era where they believe nature is nature and you should have the jumper bull come in, take care of this. Why do you inseminate? Why do you mess with this? What is your take on the jumper bull versus technological side?
Yeah, so obviously I'm not a big fan of jumper bulls. I grew up on a dairy farm. I've been chased by bulls. My grandfather was attacked by a bull. So first reason not to use bulls. Number one, they're dangerous animals. And I think as we move forward, you know, insurance liabilities and those kinds of things, I've been involved with lawsuits where a person's job was to go into a pen with a bull, they were attacked, and so that's a real concern, is just the behavior and the danger of the bulls. The second one is, though, artificial insemination is a tremendously effective technology, and what it's done for us is it's allowed us to use the best genetics from these animals. You can use the best genetics from the best animal in the United States very easily by using artificial insemination. So from a genetic standpoint, you can really advance the genetics of your herd. And third, the natural service bulls don't work as well to get cows pregnant as you might think. When multiple cows are in heat, they often choose one and don't breed the others. They're hard on free stalls. They urinate in the free stalls. So there's lots of reasons not to use these bulls. We've got good technologies. And as we were talking about earlier, there's many, many farms here in Wisconsin that just don't use bulls at all. They're just using artificial insemination.
Now, what about the cost side of things? You know, some people can't afford to have a whole pile of cows inseminated at one time. Is there cheaper semen that's just as good, or do you have to go with a higher end all the time?
Yeah, that's more of a genetics question, and my colleague Kent Weigel usually deals with that. But basically the idea is, now that we have genomic sires, the idea is to use the old portfolio theory. So you don't want to use just a few of them. You want to use a portfolio of 8 or 12 different sires and keep rotating those. And so the idea is that as a group, those animals are better genetically than what you have. Individual animals might be better or worse, but as a group, they're better.
So with reproduction on the farm, you're looking to get the best bang for your buck. You know, you feed your animals, you try and get them bred so that they can produce. Is it a feed issue sometimes, or is it strictly their makeup and the reproduction side?
Yeah, no, that's another good question. I mean, we think we can resolve some of the things with this low progesterone problem, which I talked about before. But we've also looked at many different things that affect reproduction. And the problem is there's a lot of things that affect reproduction. So body condition score loss post-calving. Cows that lose more condition post-calving have much lower fertility than cows that maintain or gain. Mastitis. Cows that get a case of clinical mastitis or subclinical mastitis between breeding and the preg check have much lower fertility. Overcrowding in breeding pens can cause decreases in fertility. Heat stress can cause problems with fertility. So a lot of things cause problems with fertility. And I'll go back to your question. One of the best things you can do for the profitability of your dairy is to get your cows pregnant in a timely manner. And so good reproduction always pays for itself. And so we're talking about technologies, and they do cost money. Don't look at the upfront cost of the technology as much as looking at what it's doing for you to increase reproductive performance.
And Dr. Paul Fricke, one more question for you. Down at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you guys are working on a lot of stuff down there. What's the next step in this research and into the technology side?
Well, I've often said if I had to look forward to a technology that might dramatically change what we're doing now with reproduction, the ability to determine progesterone in the milk line. So progesterone is produced by the corpus luteum of the cow. If I knew progesterone concentrations every day or each time the cow is milked from the time she calves, it'll transform the way that we manage reproduction, because I'll be able to determine which cows are cycling and which cows aren't cycling. You can determine which cows get pregnant, which cows don't get pregnant. You can do the accuracy of your heat detection. You know, cows that are in heat should have low progesterone. You can troubleshoot a sync program to make sure that the right treatments are given to the right cows on the right day. But that technology is actually in the works, and I think we're going to see more and more of that moving forward. So I think that's one that's coming that's really going to have an impact.
That's Dr. Paul Fricke with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Dairy Science Department. I'm Kristen Smith from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire.